Oh, and we're back again for another week in NRL Live, episode 45, Supercoach, round 10. This week we're going to have a look at last week's games, also this week in league, the referees' inconsistencies, Pete's got his origin teams, and we will look through each and every game, and of course, Tigers MS with World of Sport. Speaking of Tigers MS, he's with us as always. How are you, mate?
Good, how are you?
Doing very well, doing very well. And Pete, how are you?
Very good, thank you, gentlemen.
Good to hear, good to hear. And guys, we're just going to get straight into it, looking at last week's games, starting, of course, with the Friday night games. Rabbitohs 28 defeated the Cowboys 10. The Sharks 30 defeated the Tigers 6 on Saturday. The Bulldogs 24 defeated the Warriors 16. The Eels 19, a bit of an upset there, over the Broncos 18. Sunday, the Raiders overcame a 14-0 deficit to trounce the Knights 44-14, while the Titans, in a pretty controversial match, got up 15-14 over the Dragons. We'll talk about that more in this week in league. The Panthers, a massive upset, 12-10 over the Storm. While Monday night footy, well, we'll talk about this as well. The first send-off of the year, Jared Maria Hargraves sent off, but the Roosters, in spite of that, playing with 12 men for the last 11 minutes, got up at Brookvale against the Seagulls 16-4. From a super coach perspective, Blake Ferguson did best this week from Shandor L, I should say. His teammate Sam Burgess is putting up the big numbers. Cam Smith comes within 1 point of Robbie Farah, so maybe Farah's time at the top of the Supercoach days are definitely numbered. And as predicted last week, Tigers and Messi, you did say Blake Ferguson, he can be hit and miss, but if he was going to have a big one this week, he was certainly going to do it just there. He did just that.
Yeah, he did. He did well, and we also said the guys hanging around him, Reece Robinson and Shandor Earl, would get some good points as well, which happened. So,
yep.
Yeah, he's playing himself right into contention for Origin. Whether or not he gets a spot is kind of a little bit, possibly a little bit premature that he's getting the talk up. But, yeah, if there is an injury to a centre, he may well find himself thrown in there for the first game.
Pete's going to have his origin teams in a moment that we can talk about a bit more detail, and in how it relates to Supercoach Shandor L and Reece Robinson, all in the top 10 with, of course, Ferguson. Other guys that did well, as we expected, Robbie Rocco wasn't a good week for the Knights, but he still put up solid numbers, scored a try. He's a definite buy going forward. The Knights don't have a buy until week 15. You've got to really consider that as you're doing your trades this week and next. Andrew Fifita, well, he keeps going forward each week, and look, he may just be a bolter for Origin, but at this stage, keep playing him. The Sharks have got some good matchups coming up. Sleeper of the round, David Simmons from the Panthers. A huge game for him against the Storm. No one could have really seen that coming, the way the Storm have been pretty resolute, not giving up Supercoach points this year. While Bryson Goodwin against the Cowboys for Souths, also having a big week, and he's a guy to keep an eye on moving forward. What we learned, well, as we said, the Raiders outside backs are certainly worth having, even if you have to store them on your bench occasionally because of plays like or days like Sunday. Aaron Woods he's putting up big numbers continuously, but Robbie Farah may be a sell with Origin just around the corner. Farah is going to be a big role in that, and last year we saw it did take a lot out of him playing Origin and did affect his club. Potentially the same thing will happen. Isaac Luke is now a bye. Nathan Peet's minutes have diminished pretty drastically. The Rabbitohs have rounds 13 and 18 and as byes, so they're pretty good rounds. Round 13, there's only the two teams with the byes, so he should be able to be subbed in that week, and obviously he can be good to play up until week 18. And Michael Ennis, he's taking full advantage of having Sam Cassiano and James Graham around him, so we're saying pick him up as well, particularly the Bulldogs have good bye weeks as well, 15 and 19. But let's get straight into this week in league. The referees' inconsistencies. Pete, you saw it firsthand with your team, the Dragons, on Sunday. Look, how did you see that game with some of the decisions, and how is, in general, new boss Daniel Anderson going?
I think there's one thing that Daniel Anderson has done, which I do like, and most people I speak to who seem to like, is that the referee on field is actually making a decision. Instead of just going straight after the video, and there was previously no indication, or sometimes you hear the referee saying, I've got an opinion. now the referee is actually signalling either what he thinks is a try or a no try. I think that the obstruction rule, I know we've beaten this to death, but it's got to be looked at again. Gold Coast, to be quite honest, were robbed of a try. I couldn't honestly see why Zillman's first down over the line was called back. It should have been a try. Wally Lewis, was commentating for Channel 9 at the time, said it was one of the worst decisions he'd ever seen. There is that inconsistency with that rule, I find. A couple of other things that came up in that game with Nathan Fein being incorrectly called to have knocked the ball down from marker was another one. So I really want that consistency with the obstruction rule. I think has got to come through. I think Daniel Anderson has come up with a better interpretation. What I put down is in terms of old try scoring. Certainly we're not seeing these tiny little fingernails on the ball that we've seen in previous years. So it's a good thing, but yeah, certainly the obstruction rule is still a huge grey area in the game at the moment.
I liked what they did at the start of the year. They tried to make it more black and white. They came under criticism and they kind of folded. And it looks like they've done a similar thing with the send-offs. Look, no doubt in my mind, if not Chris Ninu, definitely Richard Fiosa should have been sent off. But instead, Monday Night Football, Tigers MS, we've seen Jared Rea Hargraves go for what, no doubt, high tackle, and definitely back in the day would have been sent off. But in comparison to these other no send-offs, I guess, earlier in the year, it looks like reactionary from the referees on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, there's probably, a lot to do with the intensity of the game played between the two teams. But, yeah, as you were saying, like back in the day, that you'd have no problems that would have been sent off. But there's probably been, I don't know, five or six examples you could find in the past couple of seasons where that player would be put on report and later punished. As it turned out, it didn't really change the game or anything like that, being that it was only 10 minutes to go. But if it was earlier in the game, one has to wonder whether or not they send him off because it's only 10 minutes to go and they're a bit more braver there, or if it's a case of would they have done it if it was 10 minutes into the game, which I don't think they would have.
It was buzzed down from the video ref. It looked to me like it was almost staged. They watched it a few times. It did look bad on replay. I totally agree in that scenario. But I get very concerned when you start a season a certain way and you start making changes to it. Right or wrong, you need to have consistency throughout the season. We're not necessarily getting that right now. Obstruction rule, as Pete's mentioned, the send-off rule. What else could happen? Are they becoming too reactionary? It's a big problem. Daniel Anderson's done a brilliant job since he came over. Some of those aspects that Pete mentioned earlier, he must be careful not to fall in that trap of trying to please everyone, because he'll end up pleasing nobody. Pete, your Origin teams for game one, obviously over the last couple of weeks, both myself and Tigers MS have done them. A couple of things now come into consideration. Brett Stewart for New South Wales and Ben Hannett for Queensland look like they'll both be out. But can you read through your teams for us?
That's right. With Hannon, it looks like he's going to be out for a month with a grade 2 torn calf muscle. So I've had to remove him from a team at the last minute. Anyway, I'll read out the Queensland team first. Billy, pretty much, of course, the back line pretty much picks itself. Billy Slater, Darius Boyd, Greg Inglis, Justin Hodges, Brent Tate, Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk. Forward David Shillington, Cameron Smith, captain, of course, Matt Scott, back rows, Sam Thaiday, Nate Miles, lock forward, Corey Parker. The bench, controversially, David Taylor. It's been a little bit up and down in form this year, but I think he'll aim up. Ashley Harrison, been there and done it. Aidan Guerra, which is the reflection of the Roosters' form, and Daly Cherry Evans. I think they've used, wow, previously had Cooper Cronk on the bench, and I think they'll use him in a similar way.
Couple of big interesting ones there in Guerrero and Cherry Evans. And so if you've got those guys in your Supercoach team, all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, do we need to look elsewhere? And, of course, Guerra, the Roosters have a bye in week 12 as well, so that can add to your decision-making there actually the Eagles as well.
Well, this is the thing, was that in previous years we've seen Queensland teams top-heavy with Broncos, whereas now the club itself is not as strong, and some of their players are not in as good a form as they might be.
There's one name I'd like to toss up there with Hannett's injury, Josh Maguire, who is a Bronco. He could be a Bolter too.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely a big chance.
Okay, for your New South Wales team, this will be
a bit
harder for you to pick.
Yeah, in some respects. Anthony Minicello, fullback, Brett Morris, pending injury, of course, and Jared Hayne on the wings. Michael Jennings, Josh Morris in the centres. Halves I've tossed around. James Maloney and Mitchell Pearce. Props, James Tamu and Tim Grant. Hooker, Robbie Farah. Second row is Glenn Stewart and Paul Gallen. Gallen remains as captain, of course, and Luke Lewis as lock. On the bench for New South Wales, I think Anthony Watmore is an absolute origin specialist. Greg Bird, Trent Barron has been in tremendous form this year. And I guess my slight bolter is the Canterbury prop forward, Aidan Tolman.
Wow. So no Aaron Woods and Bird coming off the bench. And I guess no Kurt Gidley are the big ones. Tigers MS, what do you make of Pete's origin team?
Yeah, look, it'd do the job, that team. I think it's probably a good thing that New South Wales don't have a certain like 17 guys that you'd pick, because there's no one better. I think it's they're starting to get a little bit more
depth.
Well, depth, yeah, depth, and the players, they're either A, in form at rest time, or B, they're getting a little bit better. It's still going to be very tough to beat Queensland this year, though.
Yeah, it certainly is, and that team is like you're saying, Pete. Well done. Strong team. I'd like to see Aaron Woods there. Maybe I'm a bit biased being a Tiger supporter.
Well, you've got to give him a chance to have a win this year.
And maybe needing that back could be an interesting one, whether they go, I don't know, yeah. John Sutton, I've been saying him for a while now, and I wonder, or Josh Reynolds as well is another one.
Now, maybe, I think in all likelihood they will pick Gidley, but I just can't find a spot for him because I don't think he's a good enough fullback. I don't think he's a good enough 5'8". I don't think he's a good enough halfback. I don't think he's a good enough dummy half. It's tough.
Well, this is NRL Live. Of course, you can download it at www.paulygsports.com. We've got a host of other information on there. And if you've got any questions, particularly regarding Supercoach, send us a tweet at TigersMS78 or at PaulyGSports. And, you know, it is... especially from Supercoach, we've got all the specific stats. It is your insider information. So if you do play Supercoach, it's essential you download each and every week. And we are, of course, on the website. And, of course, if you just type in Supercoach on the iTunes, find us there as well. And flick us a like at Facebook, Paulie G Sports. Let's get into the games now. And we start with Friday night footy, the Broncos v the Titans. Supercoach perspective, look, the Broncos, they've been getting better, but they still give up more points than the Titans. Certainly getting closer, mainly up the middle from the Broncos, and also we see guys that got a bit of speed about them. So William Zillman would be probably one character that has been going well in recent weeks, Tigers MS, that you may want to pick up this week.
Yeah, definitely Zillman. He's playing off... Caesar very well, actually, who is another guy who put up some good points this week and has been pretty good all season. And I think that it'll be tough for him against the Broncos. They're a little bit tighter out wide with their, you know, better second rowers and centres. But, yeah, I think him and obviously, once again, Albert Kelly, who is a fast, small guy, they can do a bit of damage against the Broncos.
Titans, as eight teams have a bye in week 12, so Titans aren't one of them. So feel free to pick up Titans players this week. They do have a good run in the next few weeks, unless, of course, it's a Greg Bird who's going to be missing in round 12. Pete, you mentioned the Broncos players earlier about the fact that maybe not as many of them are out as has been in years past for Origin, but I guess that loss last week to Parramatta is still a big blow because they like to go into Origin with a few wins, obviously with a number of wins under their belt.
Yeah, that's right, and especially if we remember the tactics of Anthony Griffin in recent years where he hasn't asked the likes of Hodges and Vidae to back up the following Saturday or Sunday after the midweek Origin match. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes if they're not travelling so well. But I think that the Titans will win that match, particularly, you know, the Broncos have got Scott Prince out injured. And I think the Broncos really lack speed as well.
Yeah, look, the Broncos don't have a bye to week 15, but that policy that Anthony Griffin has got to keep you away from those bigger name guys. But your Josh Maguires can be bought, and also there's a guy called who can play a couple of positions for the Broncos. There's Alex Glenn and there's Ben Hunt. So there are a couple of guys who maybe haven't put up the big numbers so far, but could be worth getting down going into this Origin period. And obviously the man that has been informed, Josh Hoffman, well, he's a New Zealander, so he could be played. I agree with it. I think Titans are going to win, but I think it's going to be awfully close. I'm going to have him by a point. What about you, Tigers MS?
Yeah, I've got the Titans, and I think they'll probably do it pretty easy.
Talking about doing it easy, the Rabbitohs play the Tigers. You couldn't get more of a mismatch, could you, Tigers MS, in this one?
No. Basically, if you've got South players, get them in your team. Pile them as high as possible because it'll be a points fest. Tigers cannot score and they cannot stop other teams.
The only Tigers last on Supercoach, giving up.
That's right.
Now.
They're last on the ladder. They're last on Supercoach. they're last in getting their dinner. Nothing is going right for them at the moment. The only guys you'd have from the Tigers is Farah or Woods. As you pointed out earlier, Farah might be a sell, being that Origin's coming up. And he'll give you, if you got him in the first round, originally, then he'd give you about a plus 70,000 to play with if you sold him.
And of course, with the injury to Benji Marshall, most people probably won't have him in his team, but he's now been benched by Michael Potter as well. So that's another guy that definitely leave out. But turning our attention to South Sydney, and we talked about a couple of weeks ago keeping Greg Inglis. Well, he has been on fire the last couple of weeks. He could score 3 tries by half time this week, let's face it. So play any South players you have. Obviously, I'm picking the Rabbitohs. Pete, what about yourself?
I think definitely the Rabbitohs. They're absolutely flying at the moment, and it'd be 1989, I think, since the last time they were on top of the table, the year they were minor premiers.
Yes.
So good times for people at Redfern. Though you never know these upsets. Like this time last week, who would have picked Penrith to beat Melbourne, or the week before Canberra to beat Melbourne? So,
got to say the Raiders and Penrith have at least showed some recent form.
Yeah, the Tigers. Honestly, guys, I feel sorry for the Tigers to say with that injury toll. It's one of the worst I think I've ever seen. But yeah, I think they expect the Bunnies to continue on their merry way. I'd be very interested to see how much start the Tigers have got.
Well, Pete, your team, Dragons, play the Eels down at Wynn Jubilee Oval. And they're the second
worst. That's actually at Wynn Stadium, Paul.
Oh, okay. There you go. Wynn Stadium. So, look, the Dragons are the second worst team in giving up Supercoach points. So the Eels players should get a bit of a boost. Mind you, it's pretty hard, unless the name's Jared Hayne at the moment, to look at Eels players that will do well. They're the second last in scoring Supercoach points, only ahead of course, the maligned West Tigers that we mentioned earlier. But they should get somewhat of a boost. Dragons players, look, the guy I like right now, Pete, is Jason Nightingale. He nearly won that game single-handedly for the Dragons on Sunday, and he's a guy I think that he's a New Zealander. He's going to be playing. He's going to have a big role, particularly with the guys out, well, Morris out for Origin, or even just through injury.
Absolutely. Now, Nightingale's been one of Dragons' most consistent players for a number of years. Highly underrated winger, I believe, but now does the job every week, and I think he's much happier back on the wing rather than at fullback too.
Yeah.
He's a great winger.
It did look like he was far more at home when he got to go back to the wing. Whether Josh Dugan plays or not, he has been named. But obviously, whether he'll be right to go, we'll have to wait and see. Adam Quinlan did a nice job last week. Could be a cheapie for Supercoach, but with Dugan hanging over there, obviously Vito and Brett Morris, who has the injury cloud and Origin duties potentially, we'll just have to wait and see on that one. Pete, which way are you going?
Definitely the Dragons. They've got to turn it around, and it's got to start at home on Saturday. The last two matches they've had at their mercy. Two matches in a row, they've scored more tries than the opposition and lost. They've simply got to win this week. And if they don't win against Parramatta, they may as well give it up now.
Tigers MSC or surprise last week. Could they make it two in a row?
Yeah. Look, they played very well last week, Parramatta, but I just don't think they have that consistency yet. I think the good thing for the Dragons is that the Eels did win last week. So they've got that. The Eels have that off their back sort of thing. But the Dragons, yeah, at home should account for Parramatta if they're genuine.
Yeah, the Dragons have been playing well in recent weeks. As Pete said, they haven't come up with the points. I think we'll see them put them away pretty much this weekend. Panthers, Warriors, this is going to be a tough one, really. Both teams in the bottom four, as in giving up Supercoach points. So I'm thinking pay your main players with a ban. And admittedly, both Panthers and the Warriors haven't been huge on scoring Supercoach points. But guys like Sean Johnson and James Seguiara are must-plays, even though Johnson had an off week last week. We've said before, Tigers MS, he's very inconsistent, but on his day he can put up big numbers.
Yeah, what do they call those players? Enigmatic?
your favourite type of player, Pete.
Oh, yeah. Definitely one of those players. And I think both teams, they've got a few inconsistent guys. But as always, play Seguiaro if you got him. I think that the Panthers will win. I just think they're a little bit more consistent. The Warriors have given up big leads in the last couple of games. It's becoming a habit now.
Keep an eye on Matt Moylan. We've said it before. Keep an eye on David Simmons. If you got these Panthers players, they might be worth a punt to play this week. Look, I like the Warriors. I like a lot of what they do. I agree with you. I can't pick them. They can't put teams away. I think the Panthers are going to get up in a close one, but I wonder if that big effort against the Storm on Sunday night could just sap their energy. Pete, how do you see it going?
Yeah, interesting with Matty Elliott, the coach of the Warriors, going back to his old club at Penrith. This Warriors team has got so much talent. As you said, they just can't put teams away, but yet it still wouldn't surprise me if they made a run like Parramatta did in 2009. The ability is there if they can just harness that ability, like to lead the Bulldogs 16-0, they've got to be doing something right. Having said that, Penrith's last week phenomenal. You've got to take Penrith, just.
Yeah. Obviously, the league world has talked about James Maloney infinitum this year in regards to his form with the Roosters, but it probably hasn't really been mentioned that how much the Warriors miss him.
Yeah. He didn't have a good year last year, though, by his own admission. 2011, when they made the grand final, was phenomenal. Last year, a little bit quiet, but yeah, it's certainly, you know, I don't think the replacement 5-8 that Thomas Lulawai in there hasn't quite done the job for them.
Yeah, they definitely need Valiti Mateo. See what he can do. Speaking of Maloney, his Roosters are also playing on Saturday night up in North Queensland against the Cowboys. The Roosters are hardest to score against for Supercoach by an absolute mile right now. Cowboys are in fifth, so they're quite hard as well. So it really could be a tough week for those Supercoach regulars like James Maloney and Sonny Bill Williams. Fringe players should be left out. Tigers are a mess. Is there any player that you think is still a must play or realistically play on merit?
Look, I think if you got Maloney, I think you've got to play him. He's in very good form. He kicks goals. He's general kicking in play. He's getting in points as well. And he found the try line in the Manly game. And he scored two tries. And, he'll be in the points. And he's in good form, of course. And then you're going to have to play. If you have him, you're going to have to play Sonny Bill because, yeah, he's just continually getting better and better, which is scary and scarier for every other team.
Roosters have a bye in week 12, so maybe not the best time to be picking up Roosters players with this tough draw as well. Who are you picking?
Roosters, definitely.
Look, I'm going to go an upset. I'm going to pick the Cowboys up there. I think they're probably playing better than they're giving credit for. That game against Souths was pretty close, and we talked about referees' decisions. We probably didn't give enough credence to a couple of decisions in that game too. The Cowboys are pretty hard done by. Pete, how are you going to make it up there?
I just can't tip against the Roosters at the moment. They're going phenomenally. The win tonight under adversity over Brookvale, fantastic. Cowboys, they've been a bit of a disappointment, one of the disappointments of the season thus far, I think. The Roosters to win and win by probably 12.
One thing I should add, Pete, I know you and I have talked about Monday night football curse in the past. It hasn't really been existent this year because we've had Sunday night footy, and a lot of those teams have only had to back up the net, sort of lose one day, I guess. But this is a 5-day turnaround for the Roosters against a very tough match against Manly at Brookvale Oval. Now they've got to fly all the way up to North Queensland. Last time they played the Cowboys up north, admittedly, it was in Darwin. They got absolutely flogged.
Yeah, they did. That was under Brian Smith, though, and the Roosters are a very, very different team this year. It's feather dusters last year, they're Roosters this year.
Sharks Raiders on Sunday. Look, both teams, this is going to be very, very hard to predict in every manner, that is for sure. It's at Cronulla, both teams are kind of consistent in their inconsistencies, I guess, from a Supercoach standpoint. Tigers MS, I guess the regulars like your Andrew Fifitas are good to go this week, but obviously Paul Gallen, I believe, is still out, and a bunch of the other Sharks probably play on merit.
Yeah, Gal's not going to be there, but yeah, definitely Fifita. You might want to have a look at Todd Carney. He is playing against Canberra. On the other side of the coin, you definitely want to have a look at a guy who's in form, which is Blake Ferguson, playing against his old club, which they always tend to have a big game against their old clubs. The other thing to mention about this game is everyone remembers quite a fiery finals that they had last year. Down in Canberra, so maybe it might be a bit of
payback
here for Cronulla trying to get back. But the Raiders will be tough. If they're to do anything this year, then they need to win away from home.
Are you picking the Raiders?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to go with the Raiders as well. It's not the worst travel for them, and that's going to help them, even though they are obviously far better at home. Look, guys playing for Origin. We saw Jared Hayne have a big game last week, so I think Blake Ferguson definitely comes under that category. So Andrew Fifita, these guys, keep playing for Supercoach if you've got them in your team. Even Reece Robinson, he could be a bolter for Origin with Brett Stewart, if Brett Stewart's unavailable. Pete, how do you see it going?
Yeah, close game. I agree with what you guys have said about this one. Cronulla played well last week, went up to Newcastle previous week and won. It's not easy to do. The Raiders, two great wins in a row. You just take the Raiders, I think, by about a converted try in this one.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there, but not with a lot of confidence. Knights, Bulldogs, well, both teams in the top half are stopping Supercoach points. The Bulldogs are on a roll, however, Pete, and I think it might be a good week to play guys like your Michael Ennis's, James Graham, and some of your other bigger scorers there, perhaps even Josh Reynolds. Pete, how do you see it playing out?
I'm going for a slight upset in this one. I'm going to take Newcastle at home. I'm trying to understand this team. I think maybe Wayne Bennett and the Newcastle need to come under a little bit more scrutiny for their performances over the last, since he arrived at the beginning of last year. However, he's on record saying it's the only team he's ever had where he doesn't know what their mindset is when they get off the bus at Brown. So it's tricky. The Bulldogs, however, are still patchy. Their last 2 weeks they've beaten the West Tigers, which you death ridden tonight, and with good reason. They then went over to New Zealand and beat the Warriors, although the Warriors, as we said, have a habit of collapsing. I think Bennett will be into the Knights more than they've ever been into this week, and I think they might be primed for a big match, and I think the Knights will just get over them. I think it'll be a very close, very high quality match, but I expect the Knights to get over them by 6, and Bennett has a good record against the Bulldogs. Very good record over his history.
They do far, far better at home, Newcastle. I'm going to go with them as well, but I do think the Bulldogs have a big game. Robbie Rocco, I think, is a super coach, must play, must buy if you can get him. Willie Mason could have a big game. Speaking of Origin bolters, Tigers MS, can the Knights do it?
No, I think the Dogs will nail them. I don't rate the Knights at all this year. And I think the Dogs are coming. They're really coming into form now. That win against the Warriors, they were shot ducks and they just came back and did it very methodically in the second half. And so I think that they've got that role and they've got that aura that they had last year.
Finally, the Monday night game, Storm Seagulls. Both teams have been a bit down lately, but look, I'm expecting an absolute cracker. I think you can play the big guns like your Anthony Watmos, obviously Cam Smith, Cooper Cronk with confidence, but I'd stay away from fringe players unless you don't have any other alternatives. Tigers MS, any bolters that you see that might emerge from this game?
Honestly, no real bolters. I think this is, as you said, you play your main guys because they're the guys who are going to be in the thick of it. For these two, it's going to be an enjoyable game because these two always put on an enjoyable game, whether it be, through fighting or just through decent play. But I do think the Storm will bounce back and beat Manly after Manly had a tough one on Monday.
And, Pete, it is down in Melbourne. Does that give the Storm the edge?
I think it does a little bit, although, of course, they got beaten down there 2 weeks ago by the Raiders. I think Manly, without Brett Stewart, seem to be a little bit, they lose a lot without him. There is, as we commented, a hell of a rivalry between these clubs after a couple of grand finals. And battled Brookie there a couple of years ago. I would expect Melbourne to get up in this one. I think there probably won't be too much more than the converted try in it. I think, once again, they should get their winning feeling back this week.
I agree with you, Melbourne, by four, but I'm certainly not going to say with much confidence. Okay, guys, it's just about to wrap for this week. But Tigers MS, of course, you've got our World of Sport.
Yeah, this World of Sport, so I've gone a little bit dark. And I've got two of the more bizarre deaths in sport. The first one has a bit of a... I'm not sure if you guys have seen the Final Destination films where death comes hunting for those who escape it. I think that might be the case here. The University of Evansville had a chartered DC-3 and it had just taken off en route to Tennessee in December. This was back in 1977. Unfortunately, less than 2 minutes later, the plane crashed into a field and killed all the 29 on board. Mm-hmm. Evansville lost all but one of their playing roster, their rookie coach, and other members of their team, like support staff. However, the only player to not be on that plane was David Furr, who was out at the time because he had an ankle injury. He couldn't play. Some might say, was he lucky? Well, at that point, yes, he was. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, Furr and his younger brother were killed in a car accident on the way home from a basketball tournament. Goodness. Only 2 weeks later.
No.
It's a bit creepy, that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the first time I read it out loud, and I went, that's, yeah, very odd. The second one is a diving one. Everyone remembers Greg Louganis when he smashed his noggin open at the Seoul Olympics in 1988, and, you know, there was blood and concussion, but he came back and ended up winning, I seem to recall. It could have been a lot worse, though. There was a Russian, Sergei, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, Chalybashvili. as it happens, at the 1983 World University Games in Canberra, in Canada, he was struggling in practice to perfect what they call the dive of death, which is a three reverse somersault in the tuck position. Most observers felt that he should never be allowed to attempt the dive during competition, as he was not even close to being proficient in it in his training. He did attempt it, however, and he smashed his head on the 10-metre platform in the process, rendering him unconscious. After being in a coma for a week, he then succumbed to his injuries, becoming the first diver to die during a competition. Incidentally, he was given a score of 0.0 for his dive, but only after a judge's, who was the French judge's score of minus 3.5 was discarded. So how's that for an insult to injury?
Yeah, that is the ultimate insult to injury. Well, on that rather morbid note, guys, thank you so much for the show this week.
No problems.
Yeah, pleasure.
And, of course, we'll be back next week. You can download the podcast at www.pulleygsports.com or on the iTunes. Just hit up NRL or Supercoach and you'll find it. And, of course, send us a line on Twitter at PulleyGSports or at TigersMS78. We'd love to hear from you. Click a like on PulleyGSports and then we'll get those likes up also. And, you know, follow us on Twitter. Let's get some of those followers up as well. We'd love to get that going up higher and higher each week. And of course, we will see you next week for NRL Live Supercoach.